I believe day 11, we finished bill drop yesterday, so no more bills will be dropped. I think we have about 575 bills that have been dropped this session. Just, we started the education hearing on Tuesday. You can hear me okay, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I could hear just a little bit in the background. And revenue hearing yesterday, I'm of course chair of the education committee and also on as chair of the education committee, typically by tradition, you're also on the revenue committee because both of those committees work in together a lot, especially on the TIOSA formula, which is a big part of our spending out of the state. So the big thing that we will do this year is balance the budget. We have to do that every year by, I believe it's in the Constitution. And that's a good thing. So we always will balance the budget. It's going to be a real challenge this year. Revenue has come in $471 million below forecasts. So as we did last year, even more so this year, we'll have to find revenue or funding to balance the budget wherever we can. Between the Appropriations Committee and, of course, the governor working together with the Appropriations Committee, they are identifying places to bring in revenue funds, unused funds, and so forth. To do that, there will be some cuts this year, I think especially in Health and Human Services. Of course, it's never easy to cut any programs, but it's necessary this year. We don't want to raise taxes, of course, and in order to balance the budget, we'll have to make some cuts and even more sweeping of funds than was done last year. Hopefully we can still provide at least some property tax relief. And if not, at least some kind of a framework going forward, a plan that continues to fund everything that we do fund from the state, and especially talking about the TIOSA formula, to continue to fund schools well, and at the same time, provide some property tax relief going forward. Of course, this is my last year in the legislature, so I hope I can get some things done yet that I would like to get done, both in education and especially in property tax relief. Like I said, at least maybe a framework going forward. I do serve on the commission that we set up last year from the Education Committee, the School Funding and Property Tax Commission. And we admittedly have not made much progress so far, other than just set up what our responsibility and our method of work going forward. So look forward to continue to serve there. Actually, I'm not real optimistic that a lot of, as far as a framework or anything like that, that will come out of that commission. But we do have a lot of educators and representatives of taxpayers on that commission. And at least we should be able to come up with some ideas for adjustments so that when property taxes, or excuse me, when valuations go up, which, you know, they typically go up about every year, it's just a question of how much, that adjustments can be made through the TIOSA formula to compensate for the changes in valuations and how that changes in valuations affect the TIOSA formula, because it's very complicated how those effects might happen. I agree with the governor that the TIOSA formula is way too complicated. I would love to eliminate that TIOSA formula, but at the same time, we do have to keep a lot of the adjustments that are in the formula to adjust for especially like poverty and sparsity, of course, special ed. But with the passing of the bill a couple of years ago to reimburse 80% on special ed and foundation aid also, that it should be taken care of already. I'm remiss in not thanking the McCook Chamber for setting up these Zooms every other week. I look forward to that, to hearing from you guys and having some connection with McCook and constituents out there, and look forward to any questions or ideas you might have. So with that, I will open it up to any questions or ideas or suggestions you would like to make, and look forward to hearing from you. Thank you very much.
Senator Bourbon, this is Amanda Engel. I'm the Director of Housing Development with McCook Economic Development. I know the education side is where your heart and passion lies, but some things that I'm monitoring and just kind of curious if you are keeping up with them is some of the proposed changes that will affect the Department of Economic Development. There's a couple bills, one that would potentially authorize the Nebraska Investment Finance Authority to administer, basically to contract with DED to administer some of their housing programs. And then another one to combine how it used to be really the Tourism Commission with the Nebraska Department of Economic Development.
Yes. Go ahead.
I guess my one comment to the NYFA and DED discussions, I'm certainly not against it. I think we've seen there's been a lot of turnover at DED, and it has been challenging in administering their programs to keep up with all of that. I just hope that in those discussions that rural Nebraska has a voice in that. There's only two board members of NYFA that are really out of in greater Nebraska. So I just want to ensure that this doesn't make it harder for rural Nebraska communities to receive housing funds to assist with projects, because as we know, it just doesn't pencil out as nice in rural Nebraska sometimes on a per unit cost basis for that impact, where it might pencil out a little bit better for scoring criteria in Lincoln, Omaha, Columbus, Grand Island, where they have a larger labor pool to pull from and just more competitiveness when it comes to materials.
Yes, I do realize the issues that you just mentioned about not having as many builders and more difficult to get material to greater Nebraska, and not having just the number of contractors and builders in greater Nebraska. As far as the department, the two departments go, yeah, I am familiar with that. I didn't know about the board that you mentioned. You said there was only two rural representatives on that board. How big a board? And what board is that again? And how big a board is it?
The NYFA board. Okay. I think they're all great. There's a lot of great representation on there. It is. So there is Mr. Argenbright from the Panhandle is on there. And then I believe there's somebody from Northeast Nebraska as well. And then the majority are in Lincoln and Omaha, which they still have certainly valuable voices. I just want to make sure that Greater Nebraska is represented well and if this transition takes place, again, that just isn't harder for us to score and, you know, leaving us further behind.
Sure. I know when any kind of legislation is debated, well, pretty much anything, but as far as housing goes and so forth, the rural senators, the senators from Greater Nebraska do, you know, try and make sure that we're treated fairly. Of course, we're, you know, often not voted, but we do our best to make sure everything's fair on that. But I appreciate pointing those issues out. I will, you know, do my best. I don't think that do any of those bills. Do you know what committee they're referenced to? Is it the? I don't suppose it's a revenue committee. It's probably maybe urban affairs. I'm not sure.
I know the one specific to the NYPA contract is LB 768.
Okay. I will try and familiarize myself more with that. But I knew, I do, I am aware that those entities, that they're looking at combining economic development and...
It actually looks like LB 768 is the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Economic development and tourism.
I mean, I think that could certainly be interesting where, you know, economic development has really shifted over the last decade. And tourism of that for sure. So I'm just interested to watch that more so than anything.
Okay. I think you mentioned a couple of other departments that were going to be combined.
Nope, just those two were the proposed.
Okay. Yeah, I am familiar with that, but not you know, not very up to date or anything. Thanks for the reminder to watch that closely.
Senator Merman, can you hear me? This is Nate Schneider, city manager for the city of McCook.
Yeah.
Hi. Hey, I wanted to get your, I guess the thought process. LR 18 CA, was, a piece of potential legislation, that was, going to assure that cities were not required to go ahead and pay for unfunded mandates that come from the state for particular projects or whatever the case may be. And I saw that it didn't vote to advance to select file, which basically would continue to slide more of those unfunded mandates to political subdivisions like cities and counties and whatnot. Why didn't you vote to go ahead and advance LR 18CA to select file?
Well, I am very much against unfunded mandates. But that bill, I think, needs a lot of work because just about anything that we do at the state level here, as far as any rules or regulations or anything like that can be looked at as an unfunded mandate. And I just think that needs to be more refined before that can actually advance, because if the way the bill it was written, the way I understand it, we couldn't hardly do anything here as far as well, I'm most familiar with education, so any just about anything that we pass would could be looked at as an unfunded mandate. And same way with counties and cities. I'm sure I'm not as familiar there because I'm not on the those committees that are more involved with that, but that's why I couldn't support it.
And just so you understand, I mean, at the city level, you know, there are a lot of pieces of legislation that have been imposed to assure that, you know, we stay within our property tax levy. You know, and we do that. You know, I think every community does that. However, if there's more of a burden that's placed on the state for different programming or whatever the case may be, I'm not sure how we're going to be able to continue to do this with the imposed levy limit that the state legislature has put upon us, especially with LB 34's limitations. At some point in time, and the big thing that we've got, you know, we have a lot of things that come to us from the state. We just do our best to try to manage. But I'll just give you one example, not the biggest example, but one example. As far as NDOT is concerned, we're required at the city level to go ahead and provide the services to keep the highways and the right-of-ways that run through McCook, even though they're state highways. We're required to go ahead and maintain that, but we only get compensated to the tune of $20,000 or $21,000 per year. We spend a lot more money than that at the city of McCook to go ahead and protect those right-of-ways. Mowing itself, I mean, every time you have to buy a new mower, you're talking between $30,000 and $40,000. You know, and that would include snow removal and whatnot. And you know, I think that there's a lack of understanding on the state legislature's part as far as what's being asked of communities. And I guess I would implore our state senators to come to our communities and understand our budgeting process, because I think that there's that lack of understanding between the two. I hear people say you got to run the city like a business, but it's really hard to do when we have a lot of different rules and requirements that businesses don't have to follow. And also, businesses run, you know, for a profit. We don't do that at the city of McCook. We're running on the margins just to make sure that we're able to go ahead and provide the services that people expect. And so I think that there's a disconnect, and somehow we've got to figure out how to make that connection stronger. And I don't know how to do that. That's going to be probably the state senators that take the lead on that. And I would ask that you maybe serve as a leader in that role, so that way we can start to bridge some of that divide.
Sure. I do realize that you have a lot of unfunded mandates from the state. And I think most senators do. I mean, we have some ex-mayors in the body, some ex-city councilmen, county commissioners, state school board members. So we do realize that, but at the same time, if we do send more funding, and I'm thinking more from schools now, as considering schools, because that's what I'm most familiar with from the education committee. But as we send more funding from the state, we have to have some assurance that property taxes will be reduced in a like amount. And I know that's really difficult. I mean, it's difficult at the state level to make these cuts, like I talked about too, that we're going to have to make, especially in HHS. I know it's tough at any position, you know, any level of government, you know, city, county, state, federal's not very responsible, but, we just have to all work together and understand that. And I appreciate your input. I know it's not easy.
Well, and the one thing that concerns me is, I mean, we've got a reduction in state income tax that has reduced revenue over the course of the past however many years. And I think we're going down to like 4.5%. So that's one revenue source that's been problematic. And so that hurts the state's ability to fund certain things. Another thing that we've had problems with is trying to get a state sales tax passed. And I don't know how in the world you're ever going to get this property tax relief until one of those three pillars is increased. But we're reducing everything, but the price and the cost of all these different services, they're not reducing. And so somehow there's got to be some real effort made. If sales tax is the way to do it, then there's got to be some compromise, and people need to go across party lines and have these conversations. And there's got to be a willingness for people to understand that there's a bigger picture issue here. Or if it's an income tax issue, you know, I guess, you know, make sense why we would be having revenue shortfalls when we're having arbitrary reductions in state income tax, and then we're not having anything else to subsidize that. Somehow there's got to be some common sense put into place, and I just don't know where that comes from. It's very frustrating for me here at the city. I'm not frustrated with you. I'm frustrated with the situation. And every time there is, people point the finger at the city of McCook and any political subdivision, and they say, okay, you're not being good stewards of our property tax. I would argue we do a fantastic job. We do a heck of a job with all the services we provide here in McCook. We provide more services in McCook than most communities our size do, but it's just so easy for people to point the finger. And I think sometimes it even comes from the state level, and they're like, well, the cities have to do a better job of trying to control spending. Well, we do the best we can, but people have certain expectations, and those expectations have actually been established over a period of time. So we're dealing with mandates that the city councils have given us, whether it's a full-time fire department, whether it's us serving as the dispatch center as opposed to the county here in McCook, whether it's us, providing a senior center, which most communities our size don't do. I mean, those are things that we provide above and beyond what a typical town does, and that costs money. And I don't think that there's the understanding, because every town is different. And I think our state legislatures need to understand just how different all of our communities are.
Sure. Well, I appreciate your input. I agree with you 100%. We've got to work together. By the way, I did drop a bill. I'm for limited government, small government, low taxes. I did drop a bill, I think it was just yesterday, to broaden the sales tax base. So I realized that, if we're going to cut property taxes, which is my number one priority tax wise, we're going to have to replace that revenue. And I think, to modernize our tax system, we need a broader base sales tax that includes a lot of services and so forth. And I also dropped a bill to impose a excise tax on deliveries, so just 27 cents. But we need that revenue if we're going to be serious about cutting property taxes. And again, I appreciate what you do and at the city level and all the local units of government. I've got to go right now because I got to get ready to get to the floor, but appreciate having this opportunity every 2 weeks and look forward to again in 2 weeks. So thanks, guys.